Well, what a fabulous weekend. I think you've heard all the superlatives. I don't know what I could add. It was just a great, great weekend. And there's a lot of congratulations to go around, people that made this happen. I kind of summed it up in my Detroit News column that is out there today, the Monday column I always do. I hope you'll pick up a Detroit News and read it. But it was, as I explain in there, the whole NFL draft experience made me unapologetically emotional. I'm not kidding. It was that important, that big a deal. And I can't thank the hundreds of people enough that made it happen and have been working on it for years to make it happen. And it happened and went brilliantly. And don't take it from me. Take it from, today's USA Today commentary. Detroit raised the bar for draft host cities. And this writer, Jarrett Bell, is saying, when are they going to do it back in Detroit? When will the NFL bring the draft back to Detroit? I never even thought about that being a strong possibility, but somebody's already asking for it. Wojo asked in the Detroit News front page of the sports section, not sure who had the better week, the city or the Lions. The Lions draft picks might be as good as record-breaking, well-received draft. It's all good. It's all very good and very positive, and we all should be very proud of the way this whole thing went because of so many good people. One of them will join us at about 12:19 or so, Claude Molinari, president and CEO of Visit Detroit. As our NFL draft shattered all the attendance records, 775,000 people. I believe that is what they would call the official count that's being used. 775,000 people. And everything went very well. Very, very well. We couldn't be happier. Even the weather cooperated, although it was very bizarre to wake up one morning at 31 degrees and then to hit in the upper 70s, 80 degrees. But that's, you know, welcome to Michigan. We've got the team here. Mike Parsons, our executive producer. You listen to him 5 to 6 first thing in the morning with Renee. Danielle Mason pressing all the right buttons and working on a variety of shows. We're glad she's working on ours. And Rich Luzinski, again, you hear him across the board. He's got our WJR traffic and weather first. You can stream us, you know, very simple. Best thing to do, very easy, at WJR.com or the WJR app. And that's where you can find our podcast, too. And I do hope you'll listen to the show if you can't be here noon to 2. But that's what's going on there. Hey, everybody, okay? Mike, did you have a good weekend, all things considered, other than your air conditioning going out?
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I'm a delicate flower. That's what it taught me, because it didn't get quite past 80, but I was still just absolutely miserable. So, the repair man just left. Everything is back to freezing cold in here. And
I understand completely.
Right. We're cold weather people, as illustrated by the first morning of the draft. So,
right.
It gives me the vapors when I've got no air conditioning over 80 degrees.
Right. Did you have a good weekend, Danielle?
Yeah, it was all right.
You said to me when I asked you that off the air, you said, yeah, now pretty much all my weekends are all right.
Yeah, they're just, there.
Okay, that sounds like moderately good news.
Yeah, moderately good news.
I just kind of lay around and that's about it.
Okay. You don't have to explain.
Time to recoup.
Yeah, you just kind of, you work very hard and the weekend is a very good time to relax and recharge. And so good for you. Good for you.
Anybody?
Yes?
I think we all knew the draft was going to go well, but not this well.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, you mentioned Claude Molinari, who we're going to talk to. And we've been doing a lot of work, and we've been dealing with him and the Visitors Bureau, which they renamed Visit Detroit.
Right.
And I think if anybody saw what we saw behind the scenes, just how competent and hardworking and responsive his crew is, it really does make sense that they pulled off something of this magnitude this well.
Absolutely right. And there was so much work. We'll get into all that when we speak to Claude. But a couple of things going on here. Did any of you watch 60 Minutes? I watched 60 Minutes. I know that it's out of favor with a certain group, but I watched 60 Minutes. I watched the CBS Sunday Morning with Jane Pauley, and I watched 60 Minutes still. And I get a lot of information from those shows.
The clock on 60 Minutes gives me traumatic flashbacks because when I was a kid, that means school was the next day. So I'm an NBC guy myself.
Okay. Well, I switch around. So they had a Dan Rather interview. And apparently there is a Dan Rather documentary coming up on Netflix on the 92-year-old Dan Rather. Yes, still alive, still out there. Pretty interesting, fascinating. And you remember his history, which I guess they're gonna cover. Report out, U.S. intelligence officials have determined that the Russian President Vladimir Putin likely didn't order the death of imprisoned opposition leader Alexei Navalny in February. That, according to an official familiar with the determination, all of us thought for sure he killed him.
I still think he killed him, or at least he did that thing where, you know, he kind of hit it. He told someone to tell somebody, but I'm 100% convinced it still goes back to Putin somehow.
Yeah, even if it's Putin saying, gee, I really wish that guy were dead, and somebody wanted to curry favor.
Right, or not.
And then he could say, well, I didn't say to kill him, but anyway. There was a thing on 60 Minutes about a terrible thing that military families in Hawaii went through regarding a jet fuel leak and jet fuel going into their drinking water.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's a terrible story. I'm not going into the whole story, but it was like, come on, are you kidding me?
And
nobody... What's that?
Hawaii's had just a bad string of luck from this and the Maui wildfires.
Yeah. It's just terrible, though, in that they didn't... I don't want to say they covered it, that they covered it up. I can't say that, but I'm saying that they certainly didn't sound the alarm and tell people about it. Anyway, I hope you'll look at my story. Did I say this already? In the Detroit News. My column is every Monday in the Detroit News. So look for me in the Detroit News today, and you'll read my feelings about the NFL draft and all. And then also, did you watch, I did, the White House Correspondents' Dinner?
No, but I saw some of the highlights. The Colin Jost joke saying that Biden's economy is like him walking up the stairs of Air Force One. He stumbles, but somehow there's upward trajectory. That was pretty good.
That was well done. I thought Colin Jost did a good job. Some people criticized him, but they're always going to criticize. You cannot please all the people, even most of the people, all the time. But I thought Colin Jost did a fine job. I thought the whole thing went very well. It reminded me I was invited a couple times several years ago. And my one big regret I have tied into my business, they're a couple, but that the Block brothers, John and Alan, and I think it was John Block of the Toledo Blade, many years ago invited me to go. And I came up with all these excuses why I couldn't get away. I really regret that. I wish I would have gone. They stopped asking. I just think it would be fascinating to be there and to watch all of that. Let's see what else. Of course, we've had an unbelievable draft, which we're going to talk about with Claude coming up, which is going to lead to what I think will be the biggest and best Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear, Ray Scott and his team Lear. That's next, and I think what we just went through opened the door for a lot of people coming back or coming to Detroit and those races for the very first time. Very exciting news. There's going to be a lot of positive effect. We already have Well, I'll save this because the music is playing. But I mean, somebody in the one of the national newspapers says your next vacation destination, Detroit. That's from the Wall Street Journal. So I'll cover all that again with Claude. Coming up as we're underway, Focus with Paul W. Smith at WJR. Southeastern Michigan business community, this is the last call for tickets to a special WJR Business Roundtable event about artificial intelligence. You are not going to want to miss this. It is tomorrow morning beginning at 9. WJR and Startup Nation invite you to join Chatbot Detroit, leveraging artificial intelligence to scale your business strategies for growth. Featuring a powerhouse roundtable discussion with Hillary Doe, MEDC Chief Growth Officer, Brian Calley, SBA President and CEO, and Monica Wheat of Techstars Detroit, followed by the keynote speaker, Jason Cavendish, State of Michigan Chief Security Officer and Information Technology Deputy. That is tomorrow morning at Startup Nation on Woodward in Birmingham. Now, the JR Morning Show with Guy Gordon, Lloyd Jackson, and Jamie Edmonds will broadcast live, followed by the Business Artificial Intelligence Roundtable and the keynote speaker right after their show at 9 o'clock. Tickets are free but limited, and you have to check in. For all the information and free tickets while they last, call now, 313-254-4788. That's 313-254-4788. And do that now because this special event is tomorrow morning at Startup Nation on Woodward Avenue in Birmingham. It's going to be a great meeting, and I hope that you'll take advantage of this last-minute shout-out and get your information and free tickets and check in while they last at 313-254-4788. Grab some of your business friends and say, hey, I got something special for us to do tomorrow. Let's do this. 313-254-4788. Chatbot Detroit, leveraging artificial intelligence to scale your business strategies for growth. Everybody can benefit from that, my friends. Friday, it was Get Organized Day, and I wasn't organized enough to get that on the air Friday. So I'm belatedly reminding you, now is the time to organize. Proper planning, cleaning up, decluttering. We missed Get Organized Day, but that doesn't mean we can't get organized today and eliminate the mess. All right? That is, in fact, what we will do. We've got a special broadcast for you tomorrow. We will be broadcasting from the casino. It's the soundboard at the Motor City Casino. It is Detroit Tiger Day at the Detroit Economic Club. And our friend, Anthony Bellino, he's called AB by his partner in the Lummis Brown with the sports wrap every night at 6 o'clock. But now you're going to hear AB, Anthony Bellino, with me tomorrow from noon till 2. Noon till 2 tomorrow. It is the Detroit Economic Club and Detroit Tiger Day. So it's going to be special, and Anthony Bellino will join me as my co-host tomorrow, and we should be having a good time, and no one better to team up than the guys from Sports Wrap. Again, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock, Anthony Bellino, along with the legend, Lummis Brown. Now, we're trying to connect with Claude Molinari. He was scheduled to be next. There might have been a little blip. Who can blame him if he was overwhelmed with everything that was going on? because he was in the heart of it. He was, in fact, in the heart of the whole shebang that broke all the records, 775,000 people for the NFL draft. So hopefully we're going to get him here before we run out of time in the segment. And if we... Oh, you have Terry Rattigan standing by.
Yeah, Terry's going to pinch hit for us. I'm sure that Claude is probably, you know, interview after interview after interview.
Well, I suspect he's passed out somewhere.
Who could blame him?
I mean, he's not gotten out of bed yet. I don't blame him for that. He hasn't slept for weeks. But Terry Rattigan is here. Speaking of people that made all of this happen, and we appreciate that, Terry, that you would step in. I don't know what we can say, what else we can. We have been, we couldn't be more generous with our compliments for the job that you guys all did.
Well, I think it's all of us, Paul W., the entire Detroit community, the state of Michigan. I think we can all feel very proud of what happened. You and I have talked about this before on the air, that we have the greatest sports town in the country, the greatest sports state with two major universities and many other spectacular colleges as well. I think this just really was an opportunity for the world to find out what you and I have long talked about and long known, is that this is the greatest sports environment any place in the world, and to shatter records like we did, attendance records, was just so gratifying. Obviously, the weather cooperated, but it was really the spirit and the grit and the welcoming attitude that everybody had. We all knew we were on the face of the entire community for all of our visitors. And I tell you, from the police department to the volunteers, everybody played a role in making this a really magical weekend for Detroit.
I covered all of that and more in my Monday Detroit News column this morning, and you're right. It's all of us, even the people who were signed on as ambassadors to the great city of Detroit. Everybody did a great job, a fabulous job. We already have people in the sports world asking the NFL commissioner, when can we do it back in Detroit again? And I don't know how often they do that. They have repeated it in the past, but not for a long time that I'm aware of.
Right, but, just once when Chicago took it in 15 and 16. But other than that, it's been to unique venues, correct?
Yeah, so I don't know. But, I mean, it is a wonderful compliment, and I know you take it that way as the chairman of the Detroit Sports Organizing Corporation. And heck, you already know we've got some great things in front of us. The next, of course, the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix, presented by Lear, Ray Scott and his team, Team Lear, I like to say, through the streets of Detroit. And I believe, now you can tell me if you think otherwise, Terry, I believe we're going to have the biggest downtown crowd for that now because of how well it went for the NFL draft. What do you think?
I think so too, Paul W., and thanks to you again for allowing me to host your show on Thursday when Michael Montri was there in person and described to us and to your listeners that the entire lower part of Woodward, much like it was closed off the other day, is going to be closed off. That's a new modification that Michael and Roger Penske and Bud Denker have put into place this year. So not only will Hart Plaza be free and be activated like it was last year, but they're closing down Woodward, I think, all the way up to Campus Martius, so that it can have more of a festival atmosphere around the race, and it's great for all the small businesses, restaurants, and bars in that area too.
Well, I have to tell you, certainly kudos to Michael Montri, Bud Denker, and Roger Penske. They won over the weekend. They did some great racing. We're hoping that the winning ways continue here in the city of Detroit. And here's a little something I was going to share with Claude, but I'll share it with you, even though you do sports things in your position as chairman of the Detroit Sports Organizing Corporation. Here in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend, Science of Success by Ben Cohen, that's his column, it says in big bold letters, your next vacation destination, Detroit. The doom loop is over. Now it's a boom loop. So how about that? And Claude Molinari's picture is there, and the Spirit of Detroit statue, and people taking their pictures and all of that. This is all so good, we have to pinch ourselves and believe it and accept it and say, this is just the beginning. Thanks for all of your work, Terry.
Thank you, Paul W.
And thanks for stepping in. And we'll try to catch up with Claude Molinari, if not today, tomorrow, when we're at the Detroit Economic Club. That was Terry Rattigan, and chairman of the Detroit Sports Organizing Corporation, and sometimes fill in for the Paul W. Smith Focus Show, which we appreciate as we continue on WJR. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome our next guest. He is the chairman of the Michigan Republican Party, Pete Hoekstra, and he has sent out a rather urgent note from the way I look at it. It's addressed to Michigan Republicans. As we approach what could be the most pivotal election of our lifetime in November, the future of the state and nation hangs in the balance. It is imperative that we remain steadfast in upholding the most critical responsibilities of a state party, which include raising the money we need to compete, recruiting high-quality electable candidates, growing our grassroots base, and ensuring we work to build up people in our party, not tear them down. If you believe in those responsibilities, it is critical that you sign up to become a precinct delegate today. Chairman Hoekstra, welcome back to the Paul W. Smith Focus Show.
Paul W., it is always great to be on with you. Thank you.
Tell me why I don't know that I've ever heard a promo for people urging them to become a precinct delegate. Tell me about that.
Well, I mean, you know, a party starts at the grassroots level. And the most important place for people to become active if they want to be a part of the political party is to become a precinct delegate. And so, you know, we get people as precinct delegates. That means they show up for the county conventions. It means they then have the opportunity to select people to go to the state convention and those types of things. And obviously, we want to get more people involved in the party. Typically, what happens, you get to an election, you know, we'll elect precinct delegates, you know, later on in August. And if we don't elect precinct delegates, you don't get people involved in the party. And we want them involved. We want them involved every day. So it's the first step in building towards a successful election.
How much of that, Pete Hoekstra, chairman of the Michigan Republican Party, is actually of your concern to have somebody keep an eye on how ballots are counted, how absentee ballots are processed, and all of that? Let's speak honestly here.
Well, sure. I mean, as soon as you get precinct delegates signed up, and once they're elected, what you then also have is you have a built-in, you know, network of people who you can go to and say, hey, will you be poll watchers? Will you, will you be there on election day to make sure that the system that we followed has integrity? Obviously, you know, as a political party, we're very interested in the integrity of the election process. So they go hand in hand.
Okay, well, that's good news. Some also are celebrating the fact that former President Donald Trump is realizing how important a role Michigan will play in this next election, that he's coming back.
He will be back on Wednesday in Freeland, Michigan, just north of Saginaw. We're excited to see him back. I've been chair of the party for, you know, roughly 3 months, and this will be the president's third visit back into Michigan. So he's, you know, he was in Oakland, he was in Grand Rapids, now he's going to be up in Freeland, and I expect to see him often. He knows he can win Michigan, and he is going to invest his personal time and energy making sure that he connects in Michigan and that he wins. I mean, Paul W., last week we saw him talking to the union workers in the construction zones in New York City, and he got a fabulous welcome. And we think we're going to see the same thing in Michigan from union workers in our state, especially those union workers who are affiliated with our automobile industry. Bob Lutz was quoted today in an article talking about, you know, the foolishness of what the Biden administration, he wasn't necessarily calling out Joe Biden and Gretchen Whitmer by name, but talking about this push for EV vehicles. And it's, you know, it's a technology not ready for prime time at this point. And it wastes taxpayers' money. And every time we sell an electric car, we're putting UAW workers out of work.
Well, it's unfortunately true. The latest stats and figures talking again about how much money our automakers lose on every electric vehicle they sell when they can sell them. And yeah. It's astronomical. It's mind-blowing. And again, it doesn't seem to bother the administration in Washington, who keep pushing this and coming up with rules and regulations that will kill the internal combustion engine as quickly as they can without seeming to care about the number of jobs that are being lost all the time now.
Right, and what it will do to our electrical grid. Our electrical grid is not ready to have all of us driving electrical cars. The other thing, Paul W., is people right now can't afford to buy EVs. They're just too expensive. And that goes on top of, you know, what they're paying for groceries, what they're paying for, you know, homeowners insurance, car insurance. People are being squeezed each and every day. And then they're being told, oh, by the way, you know, the next time you go buy a car, you'll have to buy something that you probably can't afford.
Well, you're so right, and I'm glad you brought the grid up again, because we've been bringing that up for so long, we haven't even brought it up lately, that we already know that, for example, in California, where there's just minuscule amounts of electric cars, but more there than anywhere, they've been already told that they, please don't charge your car tonight. I mean, they've been given edicts about not charging their cars because the grid can't take it. And that's just a minuscule amount of people with electric vehicles in the place that has promoted it more so than anybody, and they can't even handle it. So if all of a sudden, magically, we all got those electric cars that we are being pushed into without wanting to be there, we're looking at trouble. And no one's talking about it, but you just did, and I appreciate that. You'll be with the president Wednesday. And yep. He's still very supportive of you, and I'm sure that has been very helpful to you.
It absolutely has. Now, I look forward to seeing the president, but most importantly, he looks forward to seeing the voters of the state of Michigan. So he loves it here.
That's our chairman of the Michigan Republican Party, Pete Hoekstra. Pete, thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Thanks for the invite. Always good to be with you. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do it again. We'll do it often. And we'll invite the head of the Democrat Party, too. We'll invite them all. We want to hear from everybody, which is what we do here in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. What do you think, Claude?
I love it. It's perfect. I think it sums up Detroit and Southeast Michigan and the state of Michigan very, very well.
I think you're absolutely right, and you and all of the people who were involved. I in my Monday Detroit News column, I said you couldn't possibly thank everybody by name, and so I didn't try. I just thanked everybody, including the Detroiters that took very seriously that they were ambassadors, goodwill ambassadors for the city, and they did a great job. But everybody involved did, and therefore we move on from this fabulousness to more fabulousness that's been given to us by Roger Penske, Bud Denker, Michael Montry, and that is the upcoming Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear. My dear friend Ray Scott, Team Lear, they're ready, and I think it's going to be the biggest crowd ever for the streets of Detroit.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I think last year set the bar, and now we're ready to take it to another level. And Michael Montry and Bud Denker, under the leadership of Roger Penske, they're going to put together the greatest Detroit Grand Prix ever, and I am so excited to be there.
Now, were you so excited that you didn't sleep Sunday night, or that you slept better than you slept in weeks Sunday night?
You know, I took an amazing afternoon nap yesterday. It was so spectacular. It was the dreamiest sleep. I couldn't have scripted it better.
Oh, well, I'm very happy to hear that. A great dreamy sleep, and now we're underway, heading toward the beautiful race, and so many other great things that are going to happen this summer. I just want to salute you and all of your workers there at Visit Detroit, Claude. Way to go.
Paul W., you're such a champion for us, and we appreciate it, and that's one of the reasons we get to sing that theme song, because of all of your work, and thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure to support you, and I will continue to do so, Claude. Thanks so much. Claude Molinari, President, CEO of Visit Detroit. And with that thought in mind, here's an opportunity for you that's really very special. We have Bob Ibach from Nyco Sports on the line. And WJR and Nyco Sports are giving away J.J. McCarthy commemorative footballs. Now, we can't give one to everyone, but you can get a hold of one. Bob, welcome to the Paul W. Smith Focus Show.
Well, Paul, nice to be with you again. I remember back in January after Michigan won the national championship, and we sold that football out for all the fans there that support the Big Blue. And this is great. I mean, J.J. McCarthy being drafted in the first round, number 10 overall, going to Minnesota Vikings, and this young kid, 27-1 record as starting quarterback at Michigan, the first quarterback in Michigan history, by the way, to reach 25 wins, and just done so. What a tremendous career! And hearing him talk, he reminds me of some of the great leaders that I've encountered in my sports background and covering the National Football League and also Major League Baseball. He's got it all together. And we've got a football here that I think Michigan fans are really going to want to go ahead and own. And it's fully licensed. We're only going to make 2,024 of these. And it's going to help raise monies for Extra Yard for Teachers, which will help out school teachers throughout the state of Michigan. And that's an important part of our program that we've always wanted to do. These footballs are priced at just $119.95 each. Again, only 2,024 will ever be made. You'll get a number certificate of authenticity. And before I give out that phone number and website, how you can own these, maybe for a Father's Day or Mother's Day gift idea, or, you know, you've got other graduations coming up and birthdays, this is a tremendous football that will salute J.J. McCarthy going to the Minnesota Vikings, beginning the next stage of his career. On the top panel of the ball, Paul, we've got an action image in color of J.J. along with the national championship logo, the Michigan logo. Right there below that, we have another image of J.J. McCarthy, his career awards and stats. And then everybody knows about the Big House where they play at Michigan. And we have a panoramic color photograph of the stadium that goes from one side of the panel to the other on that third panel. So you'll get all that information on this football. It's one of a kind. We're already halfway sold out coming into your show today. So if you'd like to go ahead and order these, I'll give out two ways you can do that. But I do urge people, do it sooner than later, because this is going to be a part of Michigan football history. It's 1-800-345-2868. That's 1-800-345-2868. Or just go to nicosports.com, and you spell that NICOSports.com. That's NICOSports.com. And in listening to your other guest that you just had on a moment ago, just so happy for the city of Detroit. What a wonderful turnout. All the national publicity you're getting out of it, so well deserved. And it's really, I think, putting Detroit on the upper echelon of the sports map in this country.
Well, I think you couldn't be more correct in that. And always nice to speak to you. And I remember those beautiful national championship footballs. I got to talk to our account executive, Mike Pierce. I keep forgetting to pick mine up from him because we got into one. Bob Ibach with Nyco Sports, 800-345-2868 or nicosports.com. Get one of these footballs. And right now, J.J. McCarthy, the Michigan Wolverines quarterback who led the team to a 27-1 record, three Big Ten titles, and an undefeated national championship season, honored with this limited edition full-size football after being selected in the first round of the NFL draft, one of only 2024 footballs. And here we go. Be caller 9 at 1-800-859-0957, 1-800-859-0WJR, and we've got one for you. Official rules at WJR.com. The rules, you can go to NycoSports.com if you don't win right now. I don't know. I feel kind of worn out. I don't know why. No particular good reason. There's no heavy lifting.
I think we need one of those. Yeah, we need one of those Claude Molinari naps, post-draft naps.
I think that would probably be good for all of us.
Sounds nice.
It sounded like it was a really good nap, too. I haven't had a really good nap in a while. Anyway, here we go. Hour number two with the team, Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, and you, the best and brightest audience in all of radio. You can stream us at WJR.com or the WJR app, and you can get our podcasts, too. I hope you'll do that. And it means a lot to us when you remember to do the podcast and listen in at your convenience if you can't be around while the show is live, noon to 2 on WJR. Meanwhile, busy day tomorrow. Southeastern Michigan business community, this is the last call for tickets to a special WJR Business Roundtable event about artificial intelligence. And you're not going to want to miss this. So tomorrow morning, beginning at 9, WJR and Startup Nation invite you to join Chatbot Detroit, leveraging artificial intelligence to scale your business, strategies for growth. Featuring a powerhouse roundtable discussion with Hillary Doe, MEDC Chief Growth Officer, Brian Calley, SBA President and CEO, and Monica Wheat of Techstars Detroit, followed by the keynote speaker, Jason Cavendish, State of Michigan Chief Security Officer and Information Technology Deputy. That is tomorrow morning at Startup Nation on Woodward in Birmingham. The JR Morning Show with Guy Gordon, Lloyd Jackson, Jamie Edmonds will broadcast live, followed by the Business Artificial Intelligence Roundtable and the keynote speaker at 9 a.m. Tickets are free but limited. We want you to join us, but time is of the essence. It's tomorrow morning. So for all the information and free tickets while they last, and get some of your buds to go, some of your business buds, and go together. They're going to be happy you came up with this idea. Call 313-254-4788. That's 313-254-4788. Now, that's first thing in the morning. And then when we go on from noon to 2 tomorrow, it's Detroit Tiger Day at the Detroit Economic Club. And our good friend, Anthony Bellino, or as he's called by the legend, Lomas Brown, A.B., they co-host, of course, Sports Wrap, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock on WJR. They did a great job through the draft, as did everyone at this great radio station and throughout our fabulous town. Everybody, you deserve an attaboy, attagirl pat on the back for the great jobs that everyone did. But meanwhile, tomorrow, we'll be at the Economic Club, and I've asked Anthony Bellino to co-host with us for this Tiger special Detroit Tiger Day. So we're looking forward to that from noon to 2. I'm not inviting you to that. That's something you had to already make your arrangement for. I'm inviting you to tune in and hear it and be a part of it, because it's going to be a big deal, and we appreciate that. And of course, with all this positive energy around the country for Detroit, we are looking so forward to what Bud Denker, Roger Penske, Michael Montrai have in store for us, what I believe will be the biggest, most successful ever Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear. Ray Scott and his team Lear, good friends. I feel like I'm a part of Team Lear. I hope I am. I've been with him for years. And that's coming up next. And I think with the success of what we just went through, It's opening the floodgates for the number of people who are going to come. So go to DetroitGrandPrix.com, DetroitGP.com, and get all the information you need for that wonderful event that is coming up. Now, I mentioned the team, Mike Parsons, Daniel Mason, Rich Lisinski. I'm going to ask the team. At the moment, I have zero interest in what I'm about to tell you, an opportunity. Some billionaire, I don't know who, is building, and I don't know why, and I'm sure he'll be wildly successful, and I'll have blown it again. Just like when I said, I don't think people are going to be gaga over Google. Well, anyway, a billionaire.
I've invested in Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves. Did you invest?
No, I said you shouldn't have. Jeeves was the big competitor to Google back in the day.
Yeah, I should have invested in Google. We all should have. Don't get me started. A billionaire is building Titanic 2.
No.
A replica of the ill-fated ship that sank in 1912. Early designs reveal the boat will accommodate around 2,300 passengers on trips reminiscent of the original Titanic. They say without the tragic ending, but I'm sorry, it had one trip. And if you're going on the trips reminiscent of the original Titanic, you're going to hit an iceberg.
Right, and we don't know that there's not going to be a tragic ending because it hasn't set sail yet. This is tempting fate. They might as well just do what Ben Franklin did and fly a kite with a key on it in a lightning storm.
Go for the lightning, yeah. I don't know who wants to do this, but I suspect that just because I don't think it makes a lot of sense that people will want to do it, but who the heck would want to get on a boat called the Titanic 2?
Right. I mean, what is this, a do-over, Titanic 2 the Mulligan? I think you just leave that alone.
Is there a buffet? Like, what's the food situation?
Whatever they ate back in 1908 or whatever Titanic sank.
Ooh, are those prices available? That would be great.
Yeah, it'd be great if it was based on those prices, but I don't think they're 1912 prices. But, Rich, that's a good question. What kind of food are
we
looking at?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the cuisine before we make that decision? No, I'm making the decision. I love our cruise and tour trips. I love them. They're on fabulous lines, Regent, fabulous line. Seabourn, fabulous line. That's our next one in August. I don't need to get on a ship called the Titanic 2.
Are you allowed to bring your own lifeboat?
It'd be something you would certainly want to do, but anyway. How long can we dodge the weather bullet? Again, millions of people in the central United States are under severe weather alerts today.
I mean, over 100 tornadoes over the weekend. Has that ever happened? I mean, that's almost like apocalyptic type numbers. If you were to tell me that we're going to see 100 tornadoes over, what, 5 states in one weekend, that's terrifying.
Apocalyptic, I think, is a great way of putting it. And, you know, when I was doing the morning show and Ann Thomas was my producer, executive producer, her daughter was in theater at a school in Oklahoma. And Oklahoma really is a tornado alley. It really, right. They have too many tornadoes, but they're having more than ever this time. I'm just glad that her daughter's out of there, but I also worry about all the other people because Dallas, Austin, Texas, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Wichita, Topeka, and Kansas City metropolitan area, all under severe weather watches, storms pushing eastward across the southern plains. That's crazy.
And there's still a chance of severe weather over the next couple of days.
Yeah.
So could you imagine if you were living there and you haven't quite been hit with a tornado, or if you have been hit by a tornado, thinking if it's going to happen to you again?
That's just too much. And very quickly, U.S. colleges have been using law enforcement along with academic suspensions and for at least one school expulsions to warn against participating in violent pro-Palestinian demonstrations. A central demand of many protests is that the universities divest their funds from Israel-linked companies and support a ceasefire in Gaza. By the way, a lot of those losers are asking for amnesty. And who can blame them? They've not been held responsible for anything in their lifetime. They're even looking forward to not having to pay for college because their debts are going to be forgiven by this president of the United States. So, of course, they're asking for amnesty. They've never been held accountable or responsible for any of their actions in their entire lifetime. And when the schools start giving amnesty, those are the schools that I will write off completely. Gone. Gone. I sure hope Michigan doesn't do something like that, because I hate to walk away from my school, but I'm telling you, somebody's got to draw the line, and I think I just did, as we continue in focus on WJR. Well, it just gets more and more confusing watching what's happened, rather incredibly, all at once on all of these college campuses. How could they all be on the same page? How could they all have the same T-shirts, the same tents? How could they all be against Israel? I mean, I'm pro-Palestinian and I'm pro-Israel. Where is that on the college campus of today? How did all of this happen? I don't know. But my friend, Daron Levin, is a freelance journalist, editor-in-chief of Better Investing, SiriusXM radio host, is traveling to Israel for 3 weeks starting in late May. He asked if he could come on and talk to us from Israel. And I said, absolutely, certainly, speak to us even before you leave. And so we have him here with us right now. Daron, always a pleasure. Thanks for being here. Help me understand how there could have been this much hatred and anti-Semitism across all of these college campuses bubbling to the top at exactly the same time. How is that possible?
Well, first of all, Paul, I would say that, first of all, thank you for letting me come on to talk with you about this, and it's good to be with you as always. First, I would say also, I would like to see Palestinian self-determination established someday as well. And obviously, in the area that Israel is in now, just like you would. But what's happening on college campuses is not pro-Palestinian. It's pro-Hamas. And this is really not a credit to higher education. It is a credit to a lot of misleading kind of education and instruction that's happening from left-wing college professors. It's a lot of subversion, subversive activities by left-wing groups. And basically what people don't understand is that Hamas is an extremist jihadi organization that wants to create a caliphate in the world and is working on that step by step, starting with the destruction of the state of Israel. So I'm going to Israel in another 2 weeks, and I'm going to be doing pieces for the Detroit News. Nolan Finley has very kindly asked me to do pieces for the editorial page, and I'll come on the air and talk about them. But basically, Israel is a country that in 76-year history has really earned its place in the community of nations. So the fact that these college campuses are exploding with hatred against Israel is mystifying to a lot of people, including me.
Yeah, it does make me start to think that the way that people are complaining about TikTok and the way these kids get their news from social media like TikTok, it starts to make me believe, well, maybe they're right. Maybe TikTok is subversive and turning people against our country.
Well, there are a lot of different ways to be stupid, Paul, as we know. And I'm not sure TikTok is responsible for this, but social media in general is responsible for spreading a lot of misinformation and disinformation. And that's really not anything anybody can do about it. It exists as a platform for communication, just as paper exists as a platform for communication, just as television and radio do. The obligation is to be factual. The obligation is to provide context. The obligation is to be honest, and the obligation is to reject hatred, and we don't want that in this country. And this country is really dependent on higher education as well as all forms of education, and we should be really dismayed by what we see on college campuses.
Well, I certainly am dismayed, and I always get a great quote from you, Daron. This is a great one. I wrote it down There are lots of ways to be stupid, Paul.
Another one is, and this is not original, but a lie can get halfway around the world while the truth is just tying its shoes.
That's another good one. A lie can get halfway around the world while the truth is just tying its shoes. Well, I'm laughing, but it's unfortunately true. It is what's happened in our world. And I just can't believe that so many of these kids would be so open to this kind of these lies that are happening. And of course, now that they've done all this, they've disrupted schools, they've caused damage, they've threatened people, now they have the guts to ask for amnesty. And I say, I'm not surprised, because they've never been held accountable for anything in their short lives.
Well, many of these young people, 2 years, 5 years, 7 years from now, will have grown up a bit. They'll probably be ashamed of a few of the things that they've done in their past. And a new group of young people will have entered campus and be impressionable. So I think what has to happen is that some of these college presidents simply have to publicly suspend and expel some group of students who are behaving not for free speech violations, because we have to protect free speech, but to the point where you begin to harass and threaten and impede others from getting their education, you should be thrown off of campus. And if you're as a college president afraid to do that, then you should probably find another job.
Oh, I'm telling you, I don't expect college presidents to do any of that. I even expect the college presidents to give the amnesty. It's sad, but that's how I see it. I hope I'm wrong. Quickly, Israeli officials increasingly believe that the International Criminal Court is preparing to issue arrest warrants for senior government officials on charges related to the conflict with Hamas. The Israeli and foreign officials also believe the court is weighing arrest warrants for leaders from Hamas. If the court proceeds, the Israeli officials could potentially be accused of preventing the delivery of humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip and pursuing an excessively harsh response to the Hamas-led October 7th attacks on Israel, according to two of five officials, speaking anonymously, of course. And the Israeli officials who are worried about the potential fallout from such a case said they believe that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is among those who might be named in a warrant. Not clear who's going to be charged from Hamas or how they're going to reach the people they want to charge in Hamas. This is astonishing.
Paul, my guess is that the International Criminal Court is going to only undermine its own legitimacy by attempting to wade into a situation in which Israel has a legitimate right to defend itself, in which the refugees who are there without food and water are there without food and water because of Hamas, not because of Israel. And Israel is doing its best to get those people medical care, food, water, shelter, whatever they need, as much as they can inside a war situation.
Always a pleasure speaking with you, Daron. I think the next time we speak with you will be from Israel.
Potentially. I have one more opportunity next week if you'd like to do it. If there's something with a news hook that seems to justify it, let's do it. Otherwise, from Israel, I'll tell you what I'm seeing.
Very good. Daron Levin, thank you for being with us. Safe travel to you, my friend. As we continue on WJR. Well, we're lucky to have so many good people that do write in the newspapers and also are very good on the radio and can join us, and that would include Caitlin Buss. Caitlin is assistant editorial page editor for the Detroit News, and she wrote a story last week that appeared in the paper on Friday. We didn't have room last Friday going into the NFL draft and everything that was going on there. But we said if we can't do it Friday because we're so busy, you know, starting with the draft Thursday, blah, 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 would you come on Monday? And thankfully, she said yes. Caitlin, always a pleasure to speak with you. And I always enjoy your thoughtful writing, including what you wrote Friday under the headline Title IX Expansion, A True Threat to Democracy. Good afternoon, Caitlin.
Good afternoon, Paul. Always appreciate being on with you.
In your column, you say The very statute designed to protect women can now be used against them. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. No one's asked you lately to do. Give us a very short description of what Title IX was set up for and why, and then explain why it's now being used to hurt women, in my opinion, when I read this.
Yeah, that's a good entrance. You know, Title IX is a regulatory, list of rules that kind of has set the parameters for educational institutions in the United States, receiving federal funding. So there's, a variety of mechanisms throughout, other parts of that bill, but Title IX, addresses college campuses, other K-12 institutions, specifically the idea of sexual harassment, sexual assault, some of these interrelational struggles that can happen on campus. In the 70s, it was developed, under Betsy DeVos, who was the Secretary of Education under Donald Trump. She kind of narrowed some of those specifications to make, cross-examination possible, to bring in some of these, criminal justice elements into the rulemaking procedure. But under Biden, obviously now we're going back and kind of expanding that. What Biden has done through his education secretary is say, if you're trans or you're identifying as a different gender, basically the established rules don't necessarily have to apply to you. You can, be subject to whichever gender you're, identifying as at that particular moment in time. But given how the law is set up or the rules, gender is a huge part of it. So you're kind of upending the entire philosophy of that particular part of the funding bill.
And so now we have a situation where if you don't buy in to the whole transgender affirming language and action, you can get in trouble. Meaning if you're a woman and you would like to go into the woman's locker room and feel safe, when a man walks in and takes his clothes off and is still intact with a penis, you can't complain. He's doing nothing wrong, according to this expansion of Title IX, which is unbelievable.
Right. I mean, some of it's uncomfortable to talk about. I don't deny that. And it's uncomfortable to even write about. But I think that points to the fact that we're dealing with such, intimate situations, and to do a broad, stroke across how women are supposed to respond to this, or necessarily how men are supposed to respond as well. I mean, it really takes back a lot of due process rights for men. And like I said, just upending kind of some of the norms that are, underneath some of these laws. Some of these things are just true, whether or not you want to say they're true. The law also, goes beyond bathrooms. It goes to, it could have the potential to allow transgender individuals to compete in sports, not of the gender they were born as. So there's a potential for a ton of things to happen as a result of this rule being finalized. Now, interestingly, they don't want to enforce it until August. I think the idea is there's going to be some pushback probably, right away. But that wouldn't give much time before the election to really get, a decision one way or another on this rule, which a lot of people are going to have opinions about.
So that people don't misunderstand, I don't care how somebody identifies. They can say,
right,
if it's a man and they say they're a woman, okay, that's great. If you're a woman, you say you're a man, whatever you want. However, it's the same thing I used to say about cigarette smoke. Yeah, you have a right to smoke cigarettes, but your right ends at the tip of my nose. When the smoke is coming into my nose and I don't want it, your right ends. Well, your rights end when you infringe on our rights. And let's not forget that we have certain rights. And the rights go back to going into the locker room and feeling safe, going into a women's restroom or a men's restroom and feeling safe. And by doing that, we're not hurting anybody. We're not, look, you want to be a woman? Go for it. But don't bring your penis into the women's restroom, period. I know this sounds ridiculous, but it's true.
It's true. And this is such an inflammatory debate, and it just is. But at the same time, it's not a new problem. We have rights of the majority. We have rights of minorities. And, we're supposed to figure out how to protect the rights of all of those people. And what you have here is you have new classes of victims. You know, you have transgender individuals who feel victimized, but then you also have, you know, women and men who feel like their equal protection, their privacy rights, their speech rights are being curtailed. So, you know, where's the majority? Where's the minority here? You know, we have to protect both, honestly. And this is not a new problem in American politics, but it's so inflammatory, it's hard to get to that.
Real quick, as a fine graduate with honors from Hillsdale College, Caitlin Buss, you're one of the youngest people I'm talking to. You weren't in college that long ago. Coming up, I don't think it's been that long ago.
It's been a while.
All right. So apparently you're older than you look. But 17 minutes from now at Columbia, for example, students are told if they do not leave by 2 o'clock this afternoon, they are going to have all kinds of punishment. I fear that none of them will be punished. I fear that the amnesty they're asking for will be granted because they haven't been held accountable even for their coming bills due for going to college. What do you think?
I sadly agree with you, and I think it's a real shame, you know, that these institutions can't honor, again, the majority of individuals who worked really hard and give them the services and the ceremonies they deserve.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Caitlin Buss. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
Caitlin Buss, assistant editorial page editor for the Detroit News, and my boss on my column, which runs today, Mondays. I hope you'll look it up. It's all about the NFL draft and how spectacular it was and everybody that did such a great job on it. And that includes you as the Goodwill Ambassadors to welcome all the people that came to our community. And then we move on from this to what will be the most successful Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear, Ray Scott and the team at Team Lear. And I'm a part of the team, Team Lear. That's next, and it's going to be bigger and better than ever with the doors open because of the great job by so many for this NFL draft. Chris Renwick coming up. We haven't talked to Chris in a while, and we're going to do that next here in Focus at WJR. All right, it is 1:49, almost 1:50, 10 minutes away from 2 o'clock. You know, this morning it was announced Columbia University issued notices to students in their protest camps that they will be suspended if they don't clear out of the campus. The same day, the school's president said the university will not divest from Israel, a demand that has sparked the protests on college campuses across the country. The university issued the notices at the encampment protest, now in its second week, urging student demonstrators to vacate in 10 minutes by 2 p.m. They said this last night. They said it this morning. Or else, quote, be suspended pending further investigation and barred from completing the spring 2024 semester. Now, if the university makes this claim and statement and doesn't do it, then Columbia University is a worthless, spineless, former great university. This is what they've announced they're going to do. If they don't do it, that's a lesson they're teaching the students that I don't want my kids to learn. Anyway, at the encampment, participants have voted among themselves and nearly unanimously agreed to not leave at 2 o'clock. A line has been drawn. Let's see what happens at 2 o'clock. WJR and our news and JR Afternoon with Chris Renwick will be all over this story. Trust me when I tell you.
Yeah. Hey, Paulie.
Hi, Chris. We haven't had a chance to talk in a while.
I know. It feels like a long time.
It has been a long time. You okay? Everything good?
Everything's great. I mean, look, what a and yes, we will keep an eye on this because you're right. A line's been drawn in the sand. And if you're going to draw that line in the sand, you better follow through. So, right. We'll certainly be updating folks on what's going on at Columbia. I've always been a little. You know, there's that thing about like your hometown pride or where you're from and how important that can mean to people, even subliminally. I had such great joy, and I had so much pride in this town this weekend. And it's for a sporting event and all those things, but there was no major issues, and police did their jobs, and fans came out and acted appropriately. I thought this weekend was – I never thought I'd see anything like it in the city of Detroit, and we showed up big time.
It's so much to be proud of. I said in my column, it's not new for me. It happened a million times, and I don't know why, and I make no apologies for it. A flyover? I get emotional.
Yeah.
The national anthem, I get emotional. Happens every time. And I'm no longer surprised or embarrassed. And Thursday night, there was something I'd never seen before. An overhead camera shot of our great city jammed with exuberant first-timers and long-timers, with a beautiful blue sky and radiant sun smiling down on everyone, living and loving the first-ever Detroit NFL draft. I never got tired of the countless aerial shots of our beautiful city, and as the downtown lights came on, it was also breathtaking. And I got emotional watching that.
Yeah. No, it was spectacular. And for all of those people out there that, you know, have kicked us while we've been down or like to, you know, take pot shots at Detroit, no more. Like, that's done. We have moved on from that. And now we're going to take your events. Now we're going to make sure that we're taking your All-Star games, and we're going to take, you know, your golf tournaments, and we're going to take your Super Bowls and your draft. Now it's ours. And Detroit shows that not only do we come together as a community, we come out and support, but then we do it appropriately. We do it the right way. And I thought it was great. And we'll talk about that too coming up.
And of course, the next big thing. And there are several this summer, but the next big one would be the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix,
sure,
presented by Lear, Ray Scott and his team Lear, which I'm a part of that team and proudly so for years. And we talked to Claude Molinari about that. We talked to a whole bunch of people about that and how it's probably going to be bigger and better than ever. But I've also been reading from around the country where they suggest now Detroit is a great vacation destination. And
yeah.
And Detroit raised the bar. I've actually seen them say, when can Detroit host the NFL draft again? And that's not coming from Detroiters.
No, it's coming from people who came here and went, what is this? Where has this been? And look, for people around the country, I get it. You remember bankruptcy. You remember all the bad stories. Those are the things that stick
with
people.
Those are the things that always get all the big news.
Not
coverage.
Anymore. Not after this weekend. When you had millions of people from around the country, fans of different teams tuning in or coming here, those days are gone. I mean, they're just gone. And it can't happen to a better city.
You're absolutely right. We have paid the price in time, and people lived up to their own personal expectations and the expectations we had of them when we asked them to be ambassadors of the city of Detroit for all the people that were coming in. Because, this was a great event for Detroiters, Michiganders, and people from around the country. And we all had a kind of a role in making sure all of that went well. And
sure,
it did. And we did. So it's kudos all the way around. It's wonderful news all the way around, without question.
Yeah.
I fear what's coming in less than 4 minutes at 2 o'clock, because it's kind of, if they don't stand up for what they've spoken about and for, then we are going to learn something about one of our universities that I never would want to learn about them, but we're going to learn that they have no guts, no spine, or they shouldn't have said what they said. And they're teaching these kids who've not had to be responsible for anything. In fact, they're looking forward to graduating and not having to be responsible for paying for their education like the rest of us did.
Yeah.
That's why they can with a straight face say they need amnesty, because they're used to not being held accountable.
Of course. Sure.
I mean, it's just so ridiculous. It's just not good. I know you've got a great show coming up. I can't wait to hear it. is it good? Feels good to get back where you belong, right?
Yeah, it's nice to be back in this slot. Mark Hollis did a nice job. I appreciate him doing some stuff, and it's nice to be back with my audience. So, yeah, no, it's exciting.
Yeah, Mark's a great addition to the team. He's filled in for all of us one time or another. And tomorrow we'll be at the Detroit Tiger Day at the Detroit Economic Club, and Anthony Bellino, AB, as the legend Lomas Brown calls him, because they're in Sports Wrap at 6 o'clock Monday through Friday. Anthony's going to join me as co-host tomorrow for the Detroit Economic Club. Yeah, no one better to join me for the Detroit Tiger Day. So that's where we'll be from noon to 2. Thank you so much, JR Afternoon, Chris Renwick, right after the news. Regards, Paul W. Smith.